Now we're recording. Okay, so we're on Daf Ayin Tet today. So if you remember yesterday, we spoke about you have a large chatzer. In the middle of the chatzer, there's a charetz, there's a trench, which is 10 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim wide. So a trench, which is 4 tfachim wide and 10 tfachim deep, it's the same as having a wall through the thing. It's just like a hole in the ground, but it's a wall, a halachic wall, but it's not easy to walk from one side to the other. So then they have to make two separate Eruvei Chatzerot. It's not one Chatzer, it's two Chatzerot now. But then the Mishnah said that if it was Malei Afar or Tzrorot, if the trench is filled with dirt or with pebbles or stones, then ma'arvin echad ve'in ma'arvin shnayim. If it's filled with dirt or stones, so then that erases the trench, and now we go back to the status quo ante. Now it's one chatzir. So if you look two lines from the bottom, I should have mentioned, by the way, you know, on Sunday with Zion Mar Cheshvan, I know that Rabbi Ari Leibowitz had mentioned, you mentioned it, Michael, yeah, it was the anniversary, the yahrzeit of Meir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi, and it's also the yahrzeit for Mr. Joseph Rosenberger, Zichrono Livracha, who was the big mover between Schottenay's testing here in America. I thought I should mention it. All right. Anyway, so two lines to the bottom on Ayin Chenud Beis. So Malei Afar. So the Gemara says Vafilu Bistama. In other words, the implication of the Mishnah is even the person filled it with dirt, and he didn't say whether he intends to leave it there or not. It's just, you know, but stam, in other words, just with no further information, then I assume it's filled up. He says, Vahatsan, but we learn the Mishnah Masechet Alot, which is going to teach me that he has to, in order to be considered to be there permanently, he's got to specifically designate it for that. He says, now, this is talking about a house in Alot, you always have dead bodies. There's a house with a dead body in it. And if you remember, if there's a tefach space between the body and the roof or the covering, whether it's a coffin or a roof of a house, then the tuma doesn't go above the roof. But if there's no space or less than a tefach space, then the tuma shoots through the roof. So here we're talking about a bayit. So let's take a look. So v'atanan bayit shemalau tevin otzrorot. So you had a house and there's a dead body in the house. And then the house was filled with straw or tzrorot. So we're going to focus on the tzrorot, the pebbles. Leave aside the tevet, focus on the tzrorot. And again, our Mishnah linked afar o tzrorot. Tzrorot, ubitlo batel. If he's mebatil it, he says, that's it, I intend to leave the stones there, you know, gemarnu. So then we view the house as being totally filled up with the pebbles, and then the tuma will shoot through the roof. And it means, so anybody's on top of the roof or anybody passes over the roof becomes tameh. So the Gemara says, bitlo in, and now on Ayin Ten Min Aleph, he says, lo bitlo lo. So the implication is, and again, focusing on the tzrorot, if I specifically am a vatel that's road, I say my intention is to leave it here. I'm not intending to move them anymore. Then it's vatel, otherwise not. So that's a stira with our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, the implication of the Mishnah was that if the trench is filled with afar or it's road, even stam, then it's filled up. And here the house is not considered filled up unless the person says he's mevatel it. So the top line, so Amar Rav Huna, man Tana Ahalot. So Rav Huna says, who's the Tana of Masechet Ahalot? Rav Yosihi. It's the Tana Rav Yosi. So if you look at the Tosfos, man Tana Ahalot, Rav Yosihi, everybody look in the Tosfos. Afa Pishlo Ayayadeya Bright Tezu De Kamaiti. Even though Rav Huna did not know the Brisa that we're about to quote, which is going to state Rabbi Yossi's opinion, Yodea Yash Rabbi Yossi Deber Alahi Mishnah De Ahalot. He knew that Rabbi Yossi had weighed in. He knew there's a machlokis with Rabbi Yossi. He says, Alahi Mishnah De Ahalot. V'chi hai gavna ika b'perakama diyoma gabiman tana tamid Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvahi. All right, so we'll see. So he says it's Rabbi Yossi. It's going to come out that it doesn't work out so well with Rabbi Yossi. So, but the point is that Rav Huna thinks that the Mishnah Alot is like Rabbi Yossi, and our Mishnah is like the Chachamim and Samela. So the fact that there's a stira between the two of them is not, you know, detrimental to our understanding of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says on the second line, "E Rabbi Yossi ibcha shamin alei." If it's Rabbi Yossi, so we find the Rabbi Yossi holds just the opposite. He doesn't hold that you have to be mevatel it. He, Rabbi Yossi, is more lined up with our Mishnah here in Masechet Eruvin. The Tani, we learn in the Brisa, and this Brisa is also relates to Masechet Ahalot. He says, and again, Alot is one of those masechta we don't do in Daf Yomi, but you get a little bit of everything in Daf Yomi. He says, the Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tevin Ve'en Atid Lafan Oto, if the house is filled with straw and he's not going to remove the straw, Hareu Kistam Afar Ubatel. And then, so that would be like Stam Afar. Now, Stam means Tevin Ve'en Atid Lafan Oto, meaning that if it's filled with straw, and we know that he's not going to remove the straw based on what he said, then that's like stam afar. Stam afar is afar we he hasn't said anything. And then, so stam afar is batel, and that's like our town of our Mishnah. Afar batil lefano to, if the house is filled with dirt, and we know that he intends to remove the dirt, let me get somebody here 1 second. So he says, hareyu kistam tevin, below batil, then that's like straw and it's not batil. But the point is focusing on the afar, with the afar and the straw are the same. That's what we figure. So stam afar, according to Zbraisa, which is Rabbi Yossi, holds that it is batil. So Rabbi Yossi is not, you know, at variance with our Mishnah. He's in consonance with our Mishnah. So Ella Amar Ravasi, we're on the sixth line, Ayin Ted Amud Aleph Aron Gershon. So Ella Amar Ravasi, Mantana Erevin, Rabbi Yossi. So Ravasi says, who's the Tana of our Mishnah here in Erevin? That's Rabbi Yossi. So the Chachamim are Mechulak on him, and they'll be like the Shita in Masechet Ahalot. So Rabbi Yossi here is consistent with his position in Ahalot, that when it comes to dirt, that stam, I assume that it's like left there. In other words, if I don't know anything else, I assume that his intention is to leave the dirt there. Okay, so this is 1 minute, and let me get to the two dots, and we'll summarize. So that, again, so we're trying to reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot. So one answer is that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yossi, the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot follows the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yossi holds that stam afar, you intend to leave it there forever. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua Amar, Tuma Shabbat Karamid? He says, Rav Huna says, what are you even trying to reconcile the two? Our Mishnah is talking about a din in Hilchot Shabbat. That's talking about Tuma. It's like, well, like I say, Kasha with one. Well, one's got nothing to do with the other. He says, Hanach Yisr Shabbat, Tefilu Arnaki Namavatel Inish. By Shabbos, like even my wallet, let's say I have my wallet. I don't intend to touch my wallet on Shabbos. Doesn't mean I'm a Vatel it, but in terms of Hilchot Shabbat, I'm not going to touch it. Dirt is also muksa. So for a dinim of Shabbos, I could say dirt, I'm not moving it in terms of dinim of Shabbos. But in terms of leaving it in a house, you know, then that's a whole different ball of wax. So the two are, you know, different areas in halacha where different rules pertain. And then the third answer is Ravashi Amar, Bayit Acharitz Karamit. Ravashi says you're comparing a trench with a house. Isn't there a difference between filling a trench and filling a house? He says, Bishleim Echaretz Limitai Mikoi. When it comes to a trench, so yeah, people fill in trenches. They leave the dirt there. That's something that's logical. He says, Elabai Limitai Mikoi. But a house, do I say it's normally filled with dirt? No. So in order to verify that the house is filled up, so the Tana could hold, that he has to express the idea that he intends to leave the dirt there. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, okay? So from our Mishnah, we deduced, again, we had the chatzer with a trench running through the chatzer, and we said the trench is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. That converts the chatzer into 2 chatzerot, and each chatzer has to make its own a separate Ruve chatzerot. So, but then the Mishnah said that if the trench was filled with afar or tsrorot, with dirt or pebbles, then it's one chatzer. So the Gemara deduced from there that it sounds like even stam. In other words, like the person didn't say anything, we don't know what his intent is, but it's filled with dirt, so the mela, that's one chatzer. So the Gemara says that's a stira to what we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot. There we learned in order for the house to be considered to be filled with dirt, the person has to be mevatel it. So the first answer is, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, and the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot is the Chachamim who disagree with him. The second and third answers talk about differences in halacha between the two of them. The second answer was that one is talking about Tumah and one is talking about Shabbos. Vis-a-vis Shabbos, yeah, stam, I'm leaving it. It's something muksa, like even my wallet, you know, is muksa for me on Shabbos. I don't intend to move my wallet, but it doesn't mean I'm forgetting about my wallet, but for Shabbos it is. Same with the dirt. Dirt is muksa for me on Shabbos. So in terms of Hilchot Shabbat, I intend to leave it. But the other din is a din by Hilchot Tuma, where we don't have such a svara. And the third answer is that you're comparing a charetz to a house. A charetz, a person actually would fill in the trench. A house, people don't normally fill the house with dirt. So to fill a house with dirt, you have to be mevatel. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I said so far?
Yeah, according to the last two answers, how do you explain the hay and the straw that we said last time that does need to be batel for it to work?
So the let's see, with the teven, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, one second. Yeah, so the tevin is not muksa. The tevin, the straw is animal food. So in terms of Hilchot Shabbos and Hilchot Tuma, so before we said the first and last two answers were it was muksa. So that's a whole different parsha. But the tevin is not muksa because it's animal food.
Tevin is not muksa.
Okay. And then in the last one still works in terms of so in Achinami Charetz is different than a house. But even a charetz, I don't intend to fill necessarily with straw. A charetz I would fill with dirt or stones, like straw isn't something that I would fill a charetz with. That's what I would say. All right. Okay.
One more question. Rav Huna, yeah. He didn't know what Rabbi Yossi said. He just knew he said something. That's what he said.
He said, if you look at the Rashi, the second wide line of Rashi upstairs, Rabbi Yossi, he knew that Rabbi Yossi had weighed in on this topic.
He didn't know what he said.
Right, I didn't know specifically. All right. I'm going to move on unless anybody's got any objections. All right, let's take a look. So we're around 10 lines down on Ayin Ted Ibn Aleph. Now, Tanalev Neser, Shirochav, Arba'a. So we said, if you remember yesterday, I've got the two Chatzerot separated by this trench. And so they're separate Chatzerot. Let me go to my picture book now. So let me see if we find it here. Ayin Ted Ibn Aleph. Yeah, so here's one chatzer, here's the other chatzer. I got it. Here's one chatzer, here's another chatzer, and we put a plank across it, which is four tefachim wide, so then that's like a portal between the two chatzerot. So now, when I do that, so the chatzerot could still make a separate Erubi chatzerot, but they could also join with one another. It's like a doorway in a wall. That's really the same thing. It's like a doorway in a wall to have that plank across it. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Natan Alav Neser Shirocho Barba Amar Rabba Lo Shano Shnatan Lo Rachvo. So Rabba says that's only when I'm putting this across like the width of the charetz, then it has to go all the way across. Aval Lo Orko Afil Kul Shunami Miato Arba. If I'm putting it according to length, and here you see here's the length. In other words, if I put this plank, in other words, this thing along length, so then it just has to go for four tefachim. It doesn't have to be four tefachim wide. In other words, if it's sticking out, if this charetz is four tefachim wide, and I stick something which is four tefachim in length, like a little bit over it, so then it's narrowed. It's narrowed the gap between the two. Once it narrows the gap between the two, somebody could step over it more easily, and then that's the portal for it. Okay, everybody good with that? Okay, moving on. Now, the Chenshtei Gzustrot Zu Keneged Zu. We said the two Gzustrot are the two porticos. Let me see if he's got another picture earlier. Here, he's got
the balconies.
Here. Yeah, balconies, right. So it comes out, there's a machloket Rashi and other Rishonim. So Rashi learns that both balconies are on the same side of the street. And other Rishonim learn that they're across the street from each other. But either way, we said that if it's with two balconies, the same halacha would pertain. If I could stick a board across, then they can join an Erev or a board here across. So he says, Amar Rava, Hadami Zu Keneged Zu, in Zu Shelo Keneged Zu Lo. He says, in other words, if they're right opposite one another, or they're right, you know, like on the same stride near each other, then we can join them up. But if it's Zu Shelo Keneged Zu, does he have a picture here? Let me see if there's a picture. 1 minute.
And 57,
I would say. Okay, so, no. That's not the one I want. Anyway, the point is that if it's let's say one is sticky out more, or one is like not lined up exactly. In other words, one is further down the block and one is here, then I can't join them up. Do you have it? In other words, if they're both across the street from one another, but they're not directly across the street, then I can't join them up. If they're on the same side of the street, but maybe one sticks out into the street more, one less, then I can't join them up either. Okay?
If they're
Is it
not equal,
because
you
of the
can't join them up.
diagonal it would create?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay, just give let me just five more lines, then I'll pause. Okay? He says, "Zu keneged zu in, zu shlo keneged zu lo, v'zu lemalam mizu nami." And even if it's zu lemalam mizu, even if one is higher than the other one, also it's no good. He says, "Lo amran el sheish bein zeh zeh shlosh tefachim," but that's only if there's like three tefachim between them. In other words, if it's more than three tefachim between them, and they're on different heights and things like that, then we're not going to go with it. Aval ein bezel zustra akumahi. If there's less than three tefachim between these two balconies, even though one is a little bit higher than the other one, so then we'll say it's like a we could put the plank over it, and we could say it's just like a twisted, crooked balcony. All right, now time for questions. What do you got?
So if one is a little higher than the other, you're really creating a ramp between the two.
Right, that's right, that's right, that's right. All right, everybody
So
good?
the ramp is okay if they're less than 3 tefach apart from each other.
That's correct, yeah. Now, when it says it's he's talking more with zulamalamizu, right? In other words, where one is higher than the other one, right? So if there's less than 3 tefachim, then the little board will bridge the gap. All right, I'm going to move on to the next Mishnah now. All right, so we're on the Mishnah on Ayin Ted and Aleph. Okay, everyone with me? Let me go back to my screen and make sure I'm not missing anybody. I want to make sure somebody should get in here. Okay, we're good. All right. So now the Mishnah says about Manitin, Mat Bein Shein Bein Shtei Chatzeirot. If I have there's like a haystack between two Chatzeirot, and here we have a picture again, I think. Here we go. If you look at picture 66, here you see a Chatzer. In the middle of Chatzer, there's this pile of hay. So, Mat Bein Shein Bein Shtei Chatzeirot, Gavoa Sar Tefachim. And it's 10 tefachim high, which is just what we were looking for. Marv and Shnayim, Imar ben Achad. So then we have to make two separate Eruvi Chatzerot, because that's also going to divide the Chatzerot. He says, Elu ma'achilin mikan, ve'elu ma'achilin mikan. But even though I have the hay here, each side can feed their animal with the hay that's on their side of the border. And he says, now Rashi points out that we can feed the animals. We don't think it's a problem. They're going to eat their way through the whole barrier, because as long as they don't eat 10 amot across, to less than 10 tefachim. In other words, if they eat and then it drops to less than 10 tefachim, so I would need that over a width of greater than 10 amot. So an animal would not eat that much, is what Rashi says. So I'm not afraid that the animal's going to eat through the barrier. He says, Nitmaid ha-tevin me'asar. If, though, let's say during the week, the tevin went down to less than 10 tefachim, says ma'arvin achad ve'im ma'arvin shnayim, then we'll make it one eruv for the whole thing. It'll be one chatzer now. Okay? Any questions? Everybody good? All right.
Can you repeat what Rashi said regarding the animal not eating it
Yeah.
too much?
In other words, the Mishnah says that each side could feed their animal from the hay. So Rashi says we're not afraid the animal's going to eat so much that he'll destroy the barrier,
Why not?
because in order to destroy the barrier, you'd have to go less than 10 tefachim for a length of 10 amot. And we don't think an animal would eat so much.
Less than 10 to 5 or 10 ammo.
In other words, the haystack is 10 amot, is 10 tefachim high. So in order to destroy the barrier, you see here he's got the break here in the middle.
Yes.
He'd have to eat so much hay that to go from here over 10 amot. So one, we don't think an animal would eat so much on a Shabbos. I'm not afraid
But
that.
you could have multiple animals.
Yeah, I don't know. I
Or
don't know.
multiple Shabbosim.
Yeah, but no, but he's talking about where it was in good shape on Friday. That's what he's talking about. He says, so Elu Machilim Mikan. All right, let's take a look further. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Vavaj lo yitin l'toch kupato v'yachil. So Rav Huna says, provided that the person, whoever is the owner of the animal, he doesn't take his own box or whatever he's got and stick the hay in the box. So either sticking hay in the box, I'm afraid he's going to take even more hay and then destroy the barrier on Shabbos. And destroying the barrier on Shabbos would also violate a din de rabbanan, destroying mechitz on Shabbos. Or in the alternative, Rashi says that memayt behemet kali achla lishnachrin lo yitin toch b'to mishum demuksa me'etmo lemechitzazu. Or it's a din in muksa because this hay was designated to be the barrier. So now I'm converting it for food, so that I can not allowed to do. So it might be a din in muksa, or it might be a din in destroying the barrier. So the point being, though, the Rav Huna says, the person, the human, who's like the owner of the animal, shouldn't stick the straw, the hay, into his box and give it to it. So the Gemara says, uluk me shari, you mean it's okay to bring the animal and stand it over the haystack and make sure it eats from there? Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Chanina, please everybody mute yourselves. Some of you are unmuted. So here, let me take care of it for people. One second. Some people need some help. One second. Let me just mute everybody. Okay, thank you. It's just when people aren't muted, so then noise comes in. Okay, so he says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ma'amira Dabit Behemto Al Gabi Yosabim B'Shabbat. Rabbi Chanina said a person could bring his behema and leave it over grass on Shabbos, which is attached to the ground, and the animal will eat the grass. I'm not afraid the human is going to rip the grass out of the ground, because that would be an Easter Doraisa. I'm not choshesh that a person will come to an Easter Doraisa. He says, "V'ein ma'amid adam behemto al gabi muksa b'Shabbat," but a person is not allowed to bring his behema to stand over muksa on Shabbos. So this line works a little bit better with the idea that the straw is muksa. That would be a very, you know, like a you know, real gzeira shava, like muksa. So that would be like, you know, all online. But if I say the other way, I just have to be medama milta and say that just like destroying the mechitz on Shabbos would violate a din de rabbanan, muksa is also a din de rabbanan, and I'm not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, and again, the idea being that I'm afraid that the person will come to move the muksa, or, you know, in this case, you know, move the muksa on Shabbos, because it's just the Rabbanan, and he'll like forget about it. So the Gemara says, "Dekaim la ba'apo ba'azla ba'achlo." So he says, no, what the pshat is, he doesn't even hold the animal standing near the haystack. He just blocks the animal from going anywhere else, and the animal begins to nosh on the haystack. That's all he's doing. Okay, now the Gemara says, "V'loitein l'toch kupato teven." Rav Huna said that the person's not allowed to stick the straw in his basket. He says, "V'hatanya." Now we're going to learn a long brisa, and the Gemara is going to, having brought up this brisa, is going to ask a question from the brisa, but then having brought it up, is going to analyze the brisa. So let's look at this long brisa. "V'hatanya bayit shebein shtei chatzerot." Is a tricky case. So if you look in picture 69. Here we have one chatzer. Everybody see? Here's a chatzer and surrounded by homes, and here's a home here. And then here we have another chatzer on the left, surrounded by homes, another home here. And in between, we have this, I don't know, storage area with straw, a big pile of straw in the middle. All right? Now, according to the Ritva, this middle area is only covered by a roof. And here in the picture, they have like walls broken through, but that might be like the Ritva. The Ritva says it's just a roof with no walls. So maybe that's the way this is going with the olives. Yeah. Well, here's got Pirza Yoter Me Esser. That's the way he says it. So that seems like similar to or you know, like going in accordance with the Ritva. So he says here, Vatani Bayit Shmein Shtei Chatzerot Mulau Tevin, and he filled it with straw, Marvin Shnayim Emarvin Echad. So then this chatzir will make its own Eruv, and this chatzir will make its own Eruv, because this pile of Tevin will be like a barrier between the two chatzirot. He says, Zenon ten l'to kupato v'yachil, v'zenon ten l'to kupato v'yachil. Each one, people from this chatzir can fill their box with straw, and people from this chatzir can fill their box with straw. He says, And that's going to be the question. Here this braisa gives you an okay to fill your box with straw. Nitma'eda teven me'asara tefachim, if the straw pile went down below 10 tefachim, shneim asurim. So now both chatzerot are asur to carry, because now the barrier between the two chatzerot has been destroyed. Ketzad huoseh, so what can a person do on either side to help the other people on the other side? Noel beito umavatel et reshuto. He says, so this person, let's say, will close the door to his house and then be mavatel his reshus. In other words, whatever rights he has with the tevin, he'll be mavatel to the other people on the other side. Hu aser v'chavera mutar. And then he'll be prohibited from, you know, accessing the tevin, but his other friend will be able to. And similarly, in a din by Tchumi Shabbos, where you have to do 2,000 amot, if there's a pit filled with straw, you see in picture number 69, this is like an aerial view, and the pit is within 2,000 amot of two cities, but the dotted line goes through the pit with the straw, so each one will take the straw that they need to for the Tchumi Shabbos. Okay, that's the Braisa. Okay, even just a few lines. So katani miyad zenotin tzoku b'tov yachil, zenotin tzoku b'tov yachil. So the main point is, we had said earlier that a person shouldn't take his box or whatever and fill it with straw, because we're afraid that he shouldn't fill the box with straw, because then either he'll take much more than he should. And it'll be mamayed it. So the Gemara says, and here he says that he could. So Amri, bayit kaven de'ika tikra, kimifchit min karele milta. He says like this, like there's a built-in like warning system when you're in a structure. When I'm in a structure and there's a roof, and then I see the pile go down, like the alarm bells start going off, and I realize I'm taking too much straw. He says, when it's outside, he says, Hakalu min kareli milta. Here, it's like outside, like I take it, I forget myself, and I'll take too much straw, and then that'll be gone. All right? All right, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll go on, all right? So the Mishnah said that a person could take his cow or whatever and feed him off of this division between the two chatzerot, and I'm not afraid the cow is going to eat too much and divide through. So Rav Huna said, but the person should be careful. He can't fill his kupa with it. He can't fill his box with the straw. So the person can't fill the box with the straw. Give me 1 second. Yeah, because we're afraid he'll take too much straw. He'll take too much straw. Or else we're afraid that it's like it's muksa because it's designated for that machitza. So he can't take it with that. Then we quoted a braisa that said that a person could take the straw and fill the box. So the Gemara says that there's a difference between straw which is outside and straw which is inside. The straw which is inside, so then like there's a built-in warning system. When I see the level of the straw get too low, I say, it used to be all the way up to the ceiling. Now it's getting low, so I can't take any more. Here, there's no built-in warning, so that's the difference between the two. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Yeah, everybody good? Okay, moving on. All right, we had the two dots. It might at heaven me asar tefachim shnei asurin. We said, if this pile of straw goes below 10 tefachim, so now both people in both chatzerot can't carry anymore, because that was the barrier between the two chatzerot. So the Gemara says, ha'asar ashari. So if it's 10 tefachim high, it's permissible, va'afagav demidliya tikra tuva, even though the roof is much higher. So he's getting into, if you remember, we had a similar sugya about a week ago, which feels like 100 years ago in Daf Yomi terms. Remember with the five families that were in a mansion, and remember we had like the partitions between the, like when Mishnah said, like when do they each need their own Eruv, when are they all in one Eruv, and then we had like, did the partitions have to go up to the ceiling, can they be 10 tefachim? So the Gemara says, it sounds like the implication of this brisa is, and again, here we're talking about a partition that's in a structure and a temporary partition. So it sounds like this temporary partition, if it's just 10 tefachim, it's fine. He says, shmamina mechitzo chei magil latikra, shman mechitzo. So that would lead me to the conclusion, which is a discussion we had in that previous sugya, talking about a temporary mechitza. A temporary mechitza, does it, is 10 tefachim enough, or does it have to go all the way to the ceiling? Remember, we had opinions on that sugya that had to go all the way to the ceiling. So from here, it sounds like just 10 tefachim. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Hach Abaye Shlosha Asara Chaser Mashu Askinan, B'Tevan Asara. So Abaye says, not necessarily so. It could be that we're talking about a structure, which is a low structure. The whole ceiling of the structure is only 13 tefachim, a little bit less than 13 tefachim. And the Tevan goes up to 10 tefachim. So if, since it's within 3 tefachim on the ceiling, it's like as if it goes up to the ceiling, because it's Lavud. So you can't extrapolate there for another halakh about how high the mechitza would have to be. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua Amar, afilu teim b'Beit Asara, Rav Huna says, you can even say that the whole house is 10 tefachim high. Now turn page, ayin ten with beis, the top line. V'tevin shiva umashuhu. And the tevin is 7 and a fracture tefachim high. But so both of them want to say the tevin's within 3 tefachim of the ceiling. So the chol pachot mishlosha kalav adami. Anything that was within 3 tefachim the ceiling is like lavud. I close the gap. So halachically, I view it as going all the way up to the ceiling. So I don't have any proof of the sugya. So b'shlema labaye hainu dekatani me'asara. So according to Abaye, the language makes sense. Abaye says that what was the language in the brisa? He says. Yeah, he says Nitmaida Tevin may asar tefachim shnei masurin. If the tevin goes down below 10 tefachim, they're both prohibited. So Abaye says the tevin was 10 tefachim, the ceiling was a little bit less than 13 tefachim. So now if the tevin goes below 10 tefachim, I'm in trouble. That makes sense. Shlomo Abaye haynu tani miasara el Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua miasara. What does it mean if the tevin went down below asara, but the tevin was only 7 tefachim high? So the Gemara says, mitorat asara. It means like from the halacha of 10 tefachim. In other words, that we had a halacha, we had a halachic partition of 10 tefachim, and now I don't have it anymore because it went down. And I think that's the way this Rabbi Simon Wolf was explaining it today also. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Everybody's kind of quiet today. Where are you? Yosef, you still here? Good? Okay. All right, let me move on. All right, we're on the fourth line on Ayin Ten Rebeis. Shnein Asurin, so we said, if the straw goes below 10 tefachim, so both chaserot become prohibited in carrying. So Shmami, the Durin Habim B'Shabbat, Asurin or Osrin. So it sounds like if you have Durin, in other words, that arrive on Shabbos, in other words, new residents that arrive on Shabbos, because in essence, once this partition is broken down, now all the people on this side of the chatzer are diurim in the other one, and vice versa. Now the issue is that I had a good eruv chatzer on both sides of the border before Shabbos, and then this pile came down. But the ma'isa, they're all surrounded by a partition, you know, around both chatzerot. So. From here, I could determine, the Gemara wants to say, Diurim Abayim B'Shabbat, Osrim or Asurim. So that if something changes on Shabbat, it asers it. And then that's a question in Halakha. So the Gemara says, Dilma D'imayit Me'etmol. It could be the Bryce is talking about, not necessarily so, that the pile went down before Shabbos, then everybody would be Asur. We don't necessarily have a proof that would relate to that other sugya about Diurim Abayim B'Shabbat. All right. So let's say I have Reuven's chatzer and his friends. Here's Shimon's chatzer and his friends. So what can now, the Tevin went down below the line, and then they meet their own Reuven, but now everything's a mess. So what can they do? So Reuven can lock his door and be Mevatel, and everybody Mevatel the Rishut. And then Shimon and Chevra will have access to the Tevin and everything else. So Tarti, so I need to do two things. I need to lock the door and be Mevatel Rishut. So Haki Kamar. So what it means is, oh, Noel at Beito, or he locks the door, oh, Mevatel Rishuto, or he's Mevatel Rishut. That's the first answer of the Gemara. V'i by Nema, or else I could say, Liolam Tarti, he has to do two things. Why? meaning since he's accustomed to having access to this pile of tevin, so I need to have more protections to prevent him from doing it. So it's not enough for him to mivatel rishus. He's got to lock the door. And so that'll, because he's so accustomed to using it. You know, we got a more protection system in there. All right, let me just... I have a question. Yeah, what's up?
He gets to reuse the hove shoot or just his side of the area?
No. In other words, over here...
It was two sides. It was two sides
before. You see with the bays? The bays is going to lock the door here.
Yeah,
and then they'll be able to use this chatzer, and this chavra will be able to use everything on the other side.
Right. Okay, that's good.
Okay, yeah. All right, everybody good? Okay, let me move on. Now, who asur b'chaveru mutar? We said that this person who locked the door and on behalf of the whole chavra and was mevatel rishus again on behalf of the whole chavra, he's prohibited from carrying, and everybody else is mutar. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. He says, Lo, tzricha dahadar ida hubatel lechavre. No, it was necessary to teach me because the Gemara wants to say that now, let's say the Shimon side wants to help out the Reuven side, and now they want to do the same thing, and now they're going to lock their door and mevatel l'reshut. He says, V'hakam ashmalan, dey mevatlin v'chozrim mevatlin. What the Tana of the Bryce is teaching me is that not effective. In other words, if one side was mevatel, I can't go back and be mevatel on behalf of the other side. So who asur v'chaber mutar? I mean, once one side was mevatel the reshut and locked the door, the other side can't reciprocate the favor, so to speak, on the same Shabbos. All right. B'chena tomer begov shel tevin shebein shnei tchumei shabbat. And a gov is like this pit filled with straw. Who? What's the famous incident in Tanakh where the word gov comes up? Anybody? This is a, anybody? Nobody? It's a, you know.
You sound very disappointed in us.
Well, anyway, it's the, you know.
Yosef?
It's with, no, with Daniel. With close. The Yosef is the idea, but with Daniel, and he's the gov arayot, the lion's den. So the Daniel's place.
Never learned that sefer.
All right. Let's take a look. So the v'chena tomer begov shel tevin shebein shnei tchumei shabbat. So the Gemara says pshita. That's obvious. That again, this is where we have. It's a different thing. We were talking about Eruv Chatzerot. Now we're talking about Tchumen. So here's Ir Aleph, Ir Beis. He's allowed to walk 2,000 Amon on Shabbat. And between them is this pit filled with straw. So the pit straddles the dotted line. So each side can take the straw from its side. Just like here, each side can take Tevin. Here too, each side can take the straw. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha the Rabbi Akiva the Amar Tchumin deraisa." I need that because according to the Tana Rabbi Akiva, Tchumin, the Gemara takes a 2,000 amot. We assume 2,000 amot is a din derabanan. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's a din deraisa. So mahu detema ligzor dilma ati lichalufe. So I might have thought, since according to Rabbi Akiva, the underlying prohibition is minat Torah, I might have thought that you should not be allowed to take the straw because you might come to take straw from the other side of the dotted line. So kamash malan, that we're not gozer of that. Okay, all right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? All right, everybody good? All right, I'm going on to the next Mishnah. All right, I don't think we need picture book anymore for this. Let's see. Let me just see. Now I get to see everybody. All right. So manitin ketzad mishtatfim b'mavui. How does one do shitufei mavot? Again, remember that we have all the chatzerot, and the chatzerot, you know, surround a mavui, an alleyway. So I want to do shitufei mavot to prevent everybody to carry in the mavui. How do I do that? So meniach rechavid v'omer harezu l'chol b'nei mavui. So if a person, if he chooses to do it this way, he could take a barrel of wine and say, this is for all the B'nai Mavui. I'm a Zaka, all the members of the Mavui. So they're not actually giving me the wine, but I'm Mizaka to them. That's a chus for them. He says, U'mizaka l'an al-yidei benovi to ha-gedolim. So now in order to be Mizaka, I can't do I can't be Mizaka by myself. I need somebody to accept it on behalf of all the people in the Mavui. It's a little bit like Eruv Tavshilin, you do an Erev Yantiv. So you wanted to, so to do it on behalf of all the people, I have to have somebody to be Mizaka on behalf of all the people. So he says here, so I could do it, they benobi to Agdolim. So I have adult children, and they could do it that way. Like the Abdova Shivchatoa Ivrim, of an Evid Ivri or an Ama Ivriya, I could do that. By the Ishto, and through my wife. Aval Einu Mizaka Lo De Benobi To Ketanim, I can't do it Zikui with my son or daughter who Ketanim. Velo Yide Abdo Shivchato Ketanim, or my non-Jewish slaves, Nesha Yadan Kiado, because their Yad is like his, so whatever they have is automatically his, so I can't be Mizaka with them. You know, it just occurred to me now as I'm going over with this, you, the Shifcha Ivrit would be an Amma Ivriya. She goes free when she's 12. So I'm just wondering, how is he Mizaka with that? Because she's not an adult. So I have to give that some thought. All right, let's see back in the Gemara.
Isn't his wife also with him?
Does he have to go free?
Wait. Say again, one at a time. All right, let me hear Yosef, then you, Fern. What do you have, Yosef?
Isn't the wife also dependent on him?
So the wife is an adult, and the wife could be Mizaka on behalf of other people. You want to say that
I'm saying just like to end the kids because whatever they have, it's his. Isn't whatever she has his also?
That's true. Mashkana Isha Kana Baila. You're right.
Right. That's what I was looking for.
Let's take a look. One second. Ishto. You know, first of all, I could stipulate with my wife that I won't have Rishis in it. With my wife. Wait, somebody's got to mute themselves. Who's got all the noise? I don't know who's making all the news. Okay, so with my wife, I could stipulate maybe that I won't have any chelek in anything that she gets right now from this wine. There's a way to stipulate with the wife that way. So that might be the way to do it. That might be the way to do it with the wife. All right, what did you want to say, Fern?
That you said that the Shifcha Ivriya goes free at 12. Isn't that only if she wants to go free?
No, but otherwise he's got to marry her. Otherwise, if he doesn't marry her, she goes free. So I don't,
she's not a Shifcha then.
Yeah, and it's really an Amma Ivriya. So that's the part I have to look into. All right, let me do the Gemara now. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chavid Shel Shitufa Mevo'o, Tzarich L'Biyam in a Karka Tefach. So Rabbi Yehuda says the Chavid for Shitufa Mevo'o, in order to be Mizaki on behalf of everybody, I have to lift it up off the ground, one tefach. So here, if you look at Tosfos, the second last Tosfos, Tzarich L'Biyam in a Karka Tefach, Mikan in Lochich de Hagba Sagi B'Tefach. So there's a Kinyan Hagba, lift up the Cheftza. So don't prove from here that a Kinyan Hagba is with one tefach. He says, Deshani Shituf Mavo de Rabbanan. By Shituf Mavo, the whole institution is Rabbanan. So we have a lot of coolers, and this is one cooler that's with it. He says, So a number of Rishonim say Hagba normally requires three tefachim off the ground. So for a Kinyan Hagba. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Amar Rava, Hani Tartimile Sabi Pumpadita Amrinu. So Rava says, these two halachot were said by Sabi Pumpadita. Now the term Sabi Pumpadita means the elders of Pumpadita. So that's a term of art which is mentioned in the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Yud Zayin. And the Gemara there says, whenever it says, so Rashi brings it down here, Sabi Pumpadita, if you look in Rashi, Rav Yehuda Vishiva To Bashilai Perakam in Sanhedrin. That refers to Rav Yehuda and his yeshiva. So that's Sabi Pumpadita. So Chara Ha, one is this halacha that you just said about you have to be Magbia Tefach, and that's what it says, Amar Rav Yehuda, that's Sabi de Pumpadita. He says, Idach Hamakadesh Im Tam Lo Lugma V'yatza Im Lav Lo Yatza. When a person recites Kiddush, if he has Malo Lugmav, and if you look at the Tosfos, last Tosfos, Im Tam Lo Lugmav, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, so it means like really one cheekful, but it's a rove revius. In other words, if I have a revius, it means the majority of a revius is basically what is coming out. So he's saying, that's the second lachem from Sabi de Pumpadita. Amrav Chaviva, Hanami Sabe de Pumpadita Amrinu. So Rav Chaviva says that the following halacha was also said by Sabe de Pumpadita. The Amar of Yudah Mar Shmuel, Osim Medura Lachaya B'Shabbat. That one can build a fire, means do Malachat Mavi or on Shabbos for a Chaya. Chaya is a woman who's just given birth. You could do that for her, because we assume that the cold is going to be, she's in pikuach nefesh unless the fire is built. So sabur mina l'chay in l'cholalo. So they thought for a woman who just gave birth, I could build a fire for a chole. And here a number of Rishonim assume it's a chole sheyesh bo sakana, that I can't build that fire. He says, then they also assumed to be motor geshamimin, I can only build a fire when it's objectively cold outside, i.e. during the winter, he says, bimoda chamalo, but not during the summer. So itmar, but it was stated, amr b'chibar avin amar shmuel, hey, kiz daven it's tanein, that if a person had bloodlet from his body and he became chilled, osin lo b'dur b'shabbat v'filu b'tkufa tamas, we can build a fire for him on Shabbos, even tkufa tamas, meaning that it's not just for chaya, it's for other sick people as well, like the person doing hakazat dam. And it's not just if there it's objectively cold on the thermometer, but if they just feel cold, then we could also build a fire for them. Okay, now I'm sorry that I said that Aaron Moshe's not here tonight, because he'd asked me about the Asherah tree, and there's a whole Mishnah in the second of Avodah Zarah. I have the answer to that. So Amar Amemar, Hanami Sabi de Pumpadita Amrinu. So Amemar says the following halacha was also said by Sabi de Pumpadita. De Itmar, it was stated, Ezohi Asherah Stam, which is an Asherah Stam, meaning I don't know anything about this tree, but I can extrapolate from the facts that it has a din of an Asherah tree. So he says, and if you look at Rashi, even though I don't see people bowing down to it or anything like that, I can nevertheless assume that it has a din of an Asherah. So I'm a Rav on the bottom line. The top line on Dape, the Ain Tomin Mi Perotel. If the idol's attendants guard the tree, that nobody should eat any of the fruit. So then that's a siman that it's an Asherah tree. Ushmuel Amar, Kigon Da Amri, Hani Tamari, Lashikra, Debe Nisrafe, the shot, in other words, Shmuel will agree with the first one, but Shmuel will say, even if they say these dates are going to be processed into a beer for Bein Israfei, for like this Avodah Zarah, but it's Mistama that tree is an Asherah tree. He says, the Shatu Lebiom Chagam, they're going to eat that, drink beer or whatever on their holiday. So in parentheses, we have a Maimar, but the Marshal takes it out. But Amruli Sabit Pumpadita, and then this was a Maimar, two lines from the bottom on the previous Amud, it said Amar Amemar, so that might be why the Rashal takes it down. It is Amemar speaking, but we may not need the statement Amar Amemar here, because Amemar is the one who's talking. But Amruli, and they told me, but Amruli Sabit Pumpadita Hilkata Kabati Shmuel. The Sabit Pumpadita said the Lacha follows like Shmuel. You know, so I mentioned about the Mishnah and the Avodah Zarah. Maybe I'll wait till tomorrow when maybe Aaron Moshe will be here, and then I'll
you can repeat it tomorrow again. Just say it now and repeat it tomorrow again.
All right. So there's three shitot in the Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah about what an Asherah tree is. So the first opinion is the tree that's worshipped. That's Mefarish. Then the second shot is that if a person designates like the growth from the tree, the future, he snips the tree and says the future growth will be the Asherah tree. So then that growth has it in the Asherah tree. And then the third pshat that the Gemara has, but it's subject to a machloket tanoim, is it was something like it's showing the way to the Avodah Zarah, which is I think the way Aaron Moshe was saying. It's I think there's maybe an Avodah Zarah at the base of it or something like that, and that's also a din in Asherah. All right, but Blee Netter, I'll go
so
over.
So that tree was never worshipped?
Yeah, so the third pshat, which is up to Machlok at Tanayim, the tree was actually not worshipped. Let me get the Mishnah out. One second. Thank you. So it's in Avodah Zarah Daf Memchet. So the Mishnah says, Shlosha Sheirot Hain, Ilan Shnita Omid Chid L'Shem Avodah Kochav Merezu Asura. If the tree was planted L'Shem Avodah Zarah and says Sura. Then the second is, Gido Pistol L'Shem Avodah Kochav in Vehechlif, no tell Masha Hechlif. If it was trimmed with an idea that the future growths are going to be the Avodah Zarah, so then the person can take the part that were clipped off. And then Hemi Tachte Avodah Kochavim Munitalo Harezu Muteret. And the third is, if a person put an Avodah Zarah underneath the tree, and then eventually Unitalo, then it sounds like he removed the Avodah Zarah, so the tree becomes permissible. But those are all called Ashera. And the last one is subject to Machloket Tanaim. Reb Shimon doesn't agree with that third one. All right. So that's it. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did tonight? All right. So let me end the recording.